So, is it possible that Zoom is just not ready for its moment in the spotlight? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. So, basically, here's how the timeline goes. Coronavirus pandemic hits, millions of students and workers get sent home, and everyone sort of defaults to using Zoom for video conferencing, school, virtual happy hours, family chats with parents, and even, in the case of the British government, cabinet meetings. And then we started hearing about the problems. Non-transparent sharing of information with Facebook, promises of encrypted video and audio chats that really aren't exactly. Even a vulnerability that could let a hacker steal your password if you're on Windows. So what does this say about Zoom, or actually any of the tools we're now all suddenly using all the time? Kim Zetter is a cybersecurity journalist and author.
I mean, obviously, Zoom is very useful. And the problem is now we're using it for a lot more serious things now. You know, people are doing conferencing with their medical doctor, or they're having therapy sessions over Zoom. So the issues now are not just about what I just described, but they're also about the user's awareness of how the host, what control they have over it.
Right. There have been a couple other issues raised, too. For example, Zoom was, you know, sharing user data with Facebook, and people coming into meetings and doing, in some cases, like really racist and sexist attacks, like taking over a meeting and interrupting them and drawing terrible things on the screen. How big a deal is that?
Right. You're referring, and the latter part you're referring to what's called Zoom bombing, like a photo bomb. Mm-hmm. You know, what happens often is that people aren't really protective about the Zoom ID meeting that they have. That's not private if you're sharing that around. And so anyone can actually dial into that call as well. And if someone does obtain that information, you can do something that's called wait room, where the host actually doesn't allow anyone to come into the conversation without actually approving them. Mm. I think people need to be more aware in general of sort of the privacy implications when they're sharing this information. They should also password protect their meetings so that even if someone does get the meeting ID, they would need hopefully a robust password to access it.
Right. There must be other pieces of software like this that we've kind of defaulted to for this sudden remote work experiment that may also have built-in security issues, right?
If you're doing this for company work, your company should have vetted these software tools prior to recommending that you get on them. Zoom, we know some of the problems because there's a lot of focus on it right now. But when you get into some of the lesser known programs, then in those cases, we really don't know what kind of security problems they may have.
What do you worry about as you see this all happening and you see these employees sort of going home and mixing and probably mixing, you know, personal and professional equipment? Maybe working distracted or tired or upset. Like, do you fear that this is opening up either companies or individuals to cybersecurity attacks?
It definitely is. I mean, the remote work at this scale does raise a lot of sort of vulnerable points. In many cases, when workers are working from home, they may take a laptop from work that has already been secured by their IT department. But now a lot of people are working at home and they're sharing those laptops, or they may be using a personal laptop and they're on their home Wi-Fi. And all of these things sort of create new kinds of vulnerabilities. They may not be also, let's say in a Zoom call, you are not very protective of what's in the background of that Zoom call. And so you might have sensitive things in that room area that are showing up on the Zoom call. Again, those Zoom calls can be recorded. They can be passed around on YouTube. They can be made public. And so I think people just need to be more aware that even though it feels like the privacy of their own home, they're still opening up that window, essentially, to their computer, to their home, to their conversations.
Kim Zetter is a cybersecurity journalist and author. The FBI this week also warned that users should take security precautions when using Zoom or any other conferencing tools for business or school. And now for some related links. The FBI says two Massachusetts schools had strangers show up in their online video classes. One shouted out the home address of a teacher. The other was reportedly covered in swastika tattoos. Zoom CEO was on Good Morning America on Wednesday, giving people much the same advice that Kim Zetter gave. Use passwords for each meeting, create waiting rooms, and lock down sessions. Zoom also revised its privacy policy over the weekend to say that it does not sell personal data that it collects from users. The company updated its app on iOS devices to stop sharing data with Facebook as well. But security researchers keep finding and raising more concerns. Now CBS News reports that Zoom is already being sued in California, and the state of New York is looking into its privacy practices. So people, and especially businesses, discussing sensitive information on video conferences should Zoom carefully, to say the least. And here's what else we're watching in tech. Before coronavirus, we had been talking about how 2020 might be a reckoning for the tech industry, where money might flow just a little less freely, and startups would have to tighten up, and others might not make it. Now, in the midst of the pandemic, the New York Times reports the reckoning is happening by hours. And it is ugly. The Times says that in the span of just a few weeks, more than 50 startup companies have laid off or furloughed something like 6,000 people. They've canceled IPOs, like in the case of Airbnb. And the Times said venture capital funding for the first 3 months of the year would have its second steepest quarterly decline in a decade. I think we can assume it'll hit first steepest by next quarter. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.